Over the last 6 months, a series of reports from the Associated Press has outlined the counterterrorism tactics that the New York Police Department has been developing during the past 10 years. It reveals that working in collaboration with the CIA, the NYPD has built up its counterterrorism operations, putting together a vast surveillance network. The series won the George Polk Award for Metropolitan Reporting earlier this week, and joining me now are two members of the investigative team, Matt Apuzzo and Adam Goldman. I'm very pleased to welcome them to today's Backstory segment. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Should we be surprised that in the wake of the September 11th attacks, the NYPD moved to strengthen the counterterrorism efforts that it was involved with?
This is Adam. No, we shouldn't have been surprised. And I think this is the extent of what the CIA officer, Larry Sanchez, was doing with the NYPD. He was sent up to New York by the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, George Tenet, to help the NYPD. But it's the extent of that help that has troubled people. He was the architect of these domestic spying programs.
Also, David Cohen, wasn't he? Who was he, and how was he brought to the department in January 2002?
Yeah, this is Matt. Dave Cohen is a former senior, both senior CIA officer and senior CIA analyst, who was hired out of retirement to the NYPD to help run the intel division. And so, you know, before 9/11, the intel division was basically this glorified dignitary chauffeur service. But after 9/11, they've really transformed themselves into one of the most aggressive domestic intelligence agencies in the country. They have a vast network of informants that are inside mosques, known as mosque crawlers. They have a secretive team known as the demographics unit of mostly Arab officers who go out in plain clothes and unmarked cars and go out and surveil Muslim neighborhoods and eavesdrop inside businesses, and they write up daily reports, and all of this is fed into databases of Muslim life. I mean, the NYPD has cataloged where Muslims live, eat, shop, sleep, pray, where they you know, where they buy groceries, where they watch sports. And the idea is that if they have these databases, and there's ever, you know, a threat that says, oh, you know, there's an Egyptian in the city who's planning an attack, well, then we'll know where Egyptians are most likely to work or where they're most likely to watch sports, and we'll have a network of Egyptian informants. But, you know, obviously, in doing that, the effect is that hundreds and hundreds of innocent people, American citizens, are cataloged in police files for not having done anything wrong.
This was begun in the early days of the Bloomberg administration, not under Rudolph Giuliani?
Correct.
Was Ray Kelly already the police commissioner?
Yes.
Has the CIA collaborated with a local police department before something like this?
No, and
let me further that. Why the CIA and not the FBI? Isn't the CIA prohibited from domestic spying?
Well, this is the only partnership of its kind in the country with the CIA. And the CIA is the first to admit that it was an unusual relationship. And the relationship itself evolved into something that now, looking back, was blurred the lines. The CIA's inspector general did a review of the relationship. And the inspector general report raised some eyebrows, even within the highest levels of the CIA on the seventh floor. And shortly after Inspector General's report was completed in late October, General Petraeus, who's now the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, decided to cut short the clandestine officer's tour in the NYPD.
Do you know if the CIA has gotten information from the NYPD as part of this arrangement?
Well, they're not supposed to take... I mean, there's supposed to be information sharing, right? If the NYPD develops information, it's supposed to be shared all around the intelligence community. I mean, nobody objects. Everybody wants that to happen. The problem is that the CIA is not supposed to obtain or collect purely domestic intelligence. And our reporting showed that at least in some cases, informally and back channel, that did happen. And that the CIA did receive that informally. Now, the Inspector General's report said they found no evidence that, you know, executive orders or federal laws were broken. It just said that there probably could have been more oversight and more controls on this relationship.
Well, aren't the rules for spying and policing pretty different?
Well, this is how the CIA parses it. They say that the officer who was sent over there initially, who left in December of 2010, they said that, well, in the first few years while he was on the CIA payroll and working for the NYPD, what he was doing was not at the direction of the CIA. That's how they parse this.
Even though they were paying his salary.
Even though they were paying him.
And then he had an office in both the NYPD and the CIA field office. But the question you raise is really the great question here is, in a post 9/11 world, do we want our police department to just be solving crimes? And I think there is an acceptance in America right now that the answer to that is no. I mean, it's a really hard job. The police department has had to all police departments in some ways have had to reinvent themselves to go from we wait till somebody is killed and then we go out and figure out who did it to we figure out who the murderer is before he commits a murder and we stop him from doing it and we charge him. I mean, it is a total 180 from traditional policing. And I think what you're finding here, these are the difficult questions that police departments are wrestling with as certainly in New York, unlike any other, they have taken on a role as an intelligence agency.
But didn't this counterterrorism work violate a city law that requires the police department to have specific information of criminal activity before it tries to monitor political activity?
There's a federal, what you're referring to is called the Hanshew case. It's this longstanding civil rights lawsuit that resulted in a federal court order. Those rules are really murky. The NYPD has operated in ways that have certainly brushed up against those. Some of their mosque infiltration, civil rights lawyers involved in that case say, you know, clearly violates that federal order. But the NYPD says, no, that they've always stayed within the boundaries of their guidelines. But what's fascinating is the NYPD says it follows the same rules as the FBI, but much of what the NYPD is doing would just be flatly prohibited by the FBI, which under the Privacy Act is not allowed to retain any purely First Amendment materials.
We're talking about NYPD surveillance tactics on today's Backstory with Matt Apuzzo and Adam Goldman, reporters for the Associated Press. And we have a link to their series, which recently won the George Polk Award for Metropolitan Reporting, on our show page. So what form have the counterterrorism operations taken? Is it mainly information gathering?
Well, it seems more active than that. The intel division has fanned out into these neighborhoods and, you know, has gone as far as Boston to gather information. On the one hand, they
and we just learned Newark as well.
Well, Newark as well, right. They really don't. It doesn't seem like. It seems like the NYPD can go anywhere from what we can tell, and nobody's willing to tell them no. And the story we reported yesterday was the first instance where public officials said, "Hey, you know, what are you doing in our community? And this isn't what you said you were doing. And hey, we don't think that's right." You know, while the intel division tries to make cases, they're gathering information on U.S. citizens. And there's another, which raises a whole other question about whether what they're doing is even effective.
And let's remember, I mean, a lot of this ends up getting shorthanded as, you know, police spying on Muslims. And in a post 9/11 world, I think that, you know, maybe there's a greater acceptance of that in this country. When in a lot of cases, it's worth reminding that these people, by and large, are American citizens. I mean, the majority of the people we met as we did this report in Newark on the NYPD spying in Newark are longtime, decades-old American citizens or American-born citizens who converted to Islam. So, I mean, what we're talking about here is not, you know, purely, you know, spying on foreigners who are inside the United States.
Or here illegally.
Right. We're talking about entire communities being put under surveillance.
Well, is this intel division the same thing as the demographics unit, which the NYPD denied for a while even existed?
Yes. Yes, it's part of the Intel division, and yes, Paul Brown, the deputy commissioner from the New York City Police Department, denied this unit existed or had existed.
What were they doing?
Are they still doing? Well,
from what
we know, what we've reported in the documents we've made public, the demographics unit has gone out and profiled communities. For instance, if you look at the work they did in Newark, they, in fact, built a religious profile of the Newark community. And it just so happened everybody in their profile was Muslim.
What they do is they go out, the people in the demographics unit are called rakers, and that comes from the euphemism that we want the police to be raking the coals looking for a hot spot. So you go out and you pick up flyers and you write down phone numbers that you see, and, you know, at the lunch counter, you chat up the store owner, you try to assess his political views, his views on the world, his view on America. You look around, you assess what condition the restaurant's in. You try to identify what mosque is nearby so the people are there, where they would probably be praying. And you're writing daily reports on what you see. For instance, if there's a report of a drone strike in Pakistan in the news, the rakers would go out into the Pakistani community of New York City and just hang out for the day and just kind of they'd write a report at the end of the day. They say, look, you know, we didn't hear much outrage, or look, people seem really ticked off about, you know, the reports about civilians being killed in Washington.
Or if Muslims were watching a 9/11 documentary, they might go out and pay a visit to that particular establishment.
But in the report you're talking about, there's a section titled Islamic Religious Institutions, another one identified locations, the restaurants and such, that are frequented by Muslims. How does that square with claims that the NYPD isn't using religion to profile people?
Well, it doesn't square. And Bloomberg said back in August that they don't use religion as an indicator. They don't even consider religion, he said. But the problem with that statement is that document doesn't support his claim in a very vivid way.
Now, also, didn't the NYPD try to create a list of every Pakistani cab driver in the city?
Well, they did create it. I mean, it was they did do that, and that was in some ways to look for people who might be able to become informants. I mean, getting informants is the backbone of intelligence gathering, and what you're describing is really comes down to the heart of what do we want our police department to be doing to keep us safe. I mean, nobody is pro-terrorism. You know, no New Yorker wants innocent people to be killed, and everybody wants the police department to be successful. The question is this effective, and even if it is effective, is it what we want from the nation's largest police department?
Is it legal?
Well, I mean, you know, we're not lawyers. You know, that's never the question of legality has never really been one. It's been sort of a backdrop to what we've been reporting, this issue, you know, the longstanding civil rights stuff. But for us, it's always been, is this what we want? And many people have come forward. I mean, you look at the commenters on our story, you can our emails. Many people feel passionately on both sides of this debate that this is exactly what the police department should be doing.
Now, in reaction to your story about Newark, Mayor Cory Booker and Governor Chris Christie say that the NYPD didn't tell any New Jersey political officials what they were up to. I can't believe that New Jersey law enforcement officials were totally unaware of the operation. But now we're informed that New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez just announced that he was calling on CIA Director David Petraeus and Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate the spying by the NYPD.
Well, that's, you know, there have been other members of Congress, something in the number of 34, who have called on the Justice Department to investigate this. No word on what the Justice Department is doing. I guess they say, Matt, they're looking into this, correct?
Right. There was a letter. Representative Rush Holt from New Jersey got out on this issue really early, late last summer, and sent a letter asking that this be investigated. And so far, what we can get from the Obama administration is we're still reviewing the letter. So we'll see. I mean, look, there's never been anything like this before, right? I mean, the Civil Rights Division, this would seem to fall, these questions would fall under the purview of the Civil Rights Division. The Civil Rights Division has a long history of being able to go after, you know, people being disenfranchised for voting or police abuses for racial profiling, for stopping cars or arresting people, abuses of power, abuses of force. The question of surveillance and how that implicates, you know, the Fourth Amendment is really unique. It's unique to this generation. It's unique to post 9/11. Does surveillance implicate the Fourth Amendment? If you are being surveilled because you are a Muslim, is that the same as having your car stopped because you're black?
On the Jersey Turnpike because you're black, right?
Now, over the past 10 years, during both the Bush and the Obama administrations, the NYPD has received over $1.6 billion from the federal government for counterterrorism efforts. Has the NYPD been keeping federal authorities apprised of its operations?
No.
No.
Is there any oversight here?
Well, the question of oversight's a really important one, because in the course of our reporting, it's clear the city council doesn't know what the NYPD intelligence division is doing. And I'm not sure that Bloomberg or Police Commissioner Ray Kelly feel beholden to them. And when we, you know, we've tried repeatedly to talk to Bloomberg, he won't talk to us.
And the fascinating thing is, as the you know, as the NYPD has evolved into an intelligence organization, you know, let's compare it to the CIA or the FBI. Congress can demand anything, any information it wants from the CIA or FBI, and they have this great power to say, you're not going to get funded next year. You're not going to get any money for what you want if you don't tell us what you're doing. And they use that oversight is so crucial to the system. That doesn't exist at the local level. I mean, you don't hear the city council saying, look, I want you to tell us all of the spying programs you have going, or, you know, we need to know about what's going on, or you're not going to get funded. And so what happens is, at the congressional level, they're giving out all this money in Homeland Security grants or Justice Department grants. They don't have, I mean, they're trying to keep tabs on the FBI and CIA. They don't have time, you know, to dive way deep into how that federal money is being used at the NYPD. So in a lot of ways, these programs have been built up with nearly no outside oversight. All the oversight's been done in-house.
Now, when the series first was published, people were critical of you guys, the Associated Press. Has that changed?
No, I think you only have to read the New York Post and New York Daily News to know they're still critical of us. I mean, they're
and that's fine.
Yeah, they've accused us of being on a journalistic jihad. If getting at the truth amounts to that, I mean, we're unapologetic. We feel that New Yorkers have a right to know what's going on in their city, and they should be able to have a civilized debate about it.
How has the Muslim community responded to the revelations?
Really positively. I mean, and that's really been the best part of reporting on this subject is you really do feel like you're shining a light on an issue that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. I mean, when you look at the attention that's been brought on the counterterrorism tactics of the FBI and the CIA at their best and their worst. I mean, from black site prisons and NSA wiretapping to, you know, the many successful cases that the federal government has brought, you just don't get that level of oversight and visibility at the NYPD.
Have any cases been brought as a result of all of this activity?
Well, I mean, at the federal level, I mean, the federal government has thwarted plots. So,
are you talking about the NYPD?
Yes.
I mean, look, the results on the NYPD, these programs is mixed. I mean, we took a real hard look at what they are giving up, they're providing as their list of successes. you know, look, their most the one they hold up greatest as their success story is the thwarted plot to detonate a bomb at the Herald Square subway station. And look, you know, you can argue about whether that was ever going to be a real plot. You know, that was a basically a sting operation. But the truth is somebody's in jail for that, and a jury convicted them on it.
Though, if you look at a number of other cases, perhaps the most serious threat to New York since 9/11 was the case of Najibullah Zazi. That terrorist attack, which would have killed hundreds of people if he had managed to detonate those bombs in the subway, was not thwarted because of anything the NYPD was doing.
In fact, they missed Zazi.
They missed Zazi. They were in Zazi's mosque. They missed him. And Adis Madunjanin, who's going to go on trial shortly, you know, they missed him. They missed Akhmazeh, who was a co-conspirator. And then if you look at Shahzad, I mean,
the Times Square bomb.
I mean, Kelly says, you know, there's this logic they use. Well, we haven't been attacked. We're successful because we haven't been attacked. But it wasn't because of anything that the intelligence division, with all their cameras and spying,
it was just incompetence on the attacker's part.
Right.
And the thing that we've also struggled a lot with.
Well,
we have to
leave it there. Unfortunately,
okay,
I'm so sorry. We've run out
no
of
problem.
Time. But my thanks to Matt Apuzzo and Adam Goldman, reporters for the Associated Press. We have a link to their series, which recently won the George Polk Award for Metropolitan Reporting, on our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.